You're listening to Indiana Reading and Information Services at WFYI Public Media. General programming is intended for a blind or print-impaired audience and recorded in the studio at Indiana Reading and Information Services.
Hello, this is Alice Taylor with this edition of The Pet Report. Today, another interview, and I'm super excited to have with me two people from my very favorite organization, IMPD Mounted Patrol.
This is Sergeant Alan Weitzel with the IMPD Mounted Patrol.
This is Chris Golightly. I'm the Executive Director with the IMPD Mounted Horse Patrol Association.
Sergeant Weitzel, I believe you are the commander of the IMPD Mounted Patrol Unit. Is that correct?
Correct.
We're going to get started with great information here to talk about the IMPD Mounted Patrol, of which I have been a fan for a very long time. And I think the very first thing that our listeners would like to know about is we all see the horses around town. We know what they are, but we don't really know like how this start, where they come from. Can you give us a little bit of a history of the Mounted Patrol?
IMPD Mounted Patrol was originally the Indianapolis Police Department Mounted Patrol, and they started early in 1983. There was a couple downtown businessmen that really wanted to bring the horses back and enjoy the horses. So with a small funding amount, they got the horses started, and we've been growing and horsing around ever since.
How many horses do you have today?
Currently, we have 7 active horses and 2 in training.
Okay, and then is that a horse per officer, or do you have officers in waiting, or...
We currently have 7 riders, myself and 6 officers. We like to keep 2 spare horses in case horses go down, whether from injury or specifically my horse last night decided to lose a shoe, so she didn't have to work this week.
Okay. Well, good for her. She gets a little bit of rest today. So, excellent. Well, Chris, with the foundation that a lot of people don't know, that there actually is a foundation that supports the IMPD Mounted Patrol, and they have very specific goals and reasons for that, because IMPD Mounted Patrol doesn't get public funding like we would all think they do. It's not like where officers get their cars given to them, they get their technology, you know, supplied to them, all of those things. It's a whole different ballgame for the IMPD Mounted Patrol, and this is where the association comes in. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about the where it started, kind of the arc of that growth, and really what your main goals are as an association?
Oh, you bet, Alice. Again, I'm the executive director of the association. As Sergeant Weitzel referenced a few minutes ago, there was a small group of Indianapolis business folks back in the early 80s who started the association. What the association does is, and you made reference here, the city of Indianapolis does cover quite a bit of the expenses of the unit. For instance, they pay the officer salaries. They pay a great majority of the vet bills. However, the city doesn't cover all the unit's expenses. The association, and we're a 501c3 organization, not for profit. We cover the training expenses to send the officers to training. We cover the 100% of the purchase of all of the horses that the unit has. We will pay for a small portion of the vet bills. The city picks up a majority of that. The city picks up a majority of the food and hay and feed costs. Occasionally, we will fill that. But our two primary expenses are the purchase of the horses and to send the officers to the training that they go to.
Well, what about where the horses are housed?
They have a facility out at the old Central State Hospital grounds.
Yes, I've been there. It's not as glamorous as one would think a facility would be.
That entire area where Central State Hospital used to be is actually being redeveloped. And if you haven't had a chance to drive out on West Washington Street, do it. It's amazing what's going on there. The current facility that the unit currently is in is a bit tired, and we are in the process of beginning a capital campaign to build the unit a brand new facility. We're super excited. The city was gracious enough to give us 20 acres out at Central State Development, and we're going to build a unit, a brand new shiny facility here within the next year.
Oh, that is incredible. That's awesome. In your new unit, what would be like the top 2 or 3 things that you, Sergeant Weitzel, would like to see in your new facility? Because I know you have to have a laundry list of things that you would love to have.
Yeah, we've got a really long list, just like any horse farm. But we like, one big thing we're looking for is to make sure the horses have good, comfortable places and safe places, which, bringing that back to the city, where the courses are currently stabled at now is adequate. The city takes care of us. Okay. They're safe. The horses are safe there and everything. We also need safe locker room for the officers. And we'd also, another big thing is an indoor arena so we can
bring people to us and
teach classes to the inner city kids, to any kids, as well as, you know, for us to be able to train during the winter and the bad weather.
Right.
Right now, we're fortunate enough to have a couple places we can go to that are owned by private people, mm-hmm. but it takes us away from further out from the city where we got to, you know,
well,
we
can't. Well, there's always that added risk of hauling horses on, you know, on the road and all of that, I would assume is,
right.
yeah, is a bit. So, let's see. One of the things about the association that I really liked, and you guys can, and I'm going to have both of you kind of answer this, that you do, which is the purchase of the horse and the significance of that versus having the city purchase the horse.
The decision was made many, many years ago by the original founders of the association that the association was going to be responsible for purchasing the horses. And that's been the case ever since, 100% of the cost. And not only 100% of the purchase price is paid for by the association, we also pay for the training. And Sergeant Weitzel will talk about that here in a few minutes, about what's involved in actually training a new horse. All of those expenses that are associated with that, the association picks up.
And because the association purchases the horse for the unit, it means that the association owns the horse. So when the horse is retired, it doesn't necessarily have to go to auction or be sold off like a piece of equipment for the city. Is that correct?
That's an excellent observation, because we have full control on where that horse retires, who ends up taking possession of them. The city has nothing to do with that. That's the association's call.
So you make sure that once these horses have served our community so well, that they have a really good retirement life.
Oh, absolutely. Just to give you a quick example, there are several riding therapy clinics here in Central Indiana, and we have had several of our retired horses go up there and provide a wonderful service to those folks.
Okay, awesome. And Sergeant Weitzel, what does that mean to you to know that the horse that is serving you, that you ride every day, five days a week or however long that is, and that you know that at the end of its working life, that it's going to have a really good retirement?
That's real important to us as a unit, as individuals, because we do get a bond with these horses and we do care for them. And it's always important to know that when the time comes, we, as with the unit and with the help of the association, we'll be able to dictate where the horses go or what happens to the horses when they retire. So they're not, like you said, sold off at auction or anything like that.
We had talked just a little before we started the interview, because I don't know a lot about horses, but I know a lot about dogs. And so we were talking about, I said, oh, don't you feel the same way? Or does the horse feel the same way about you? Like, you know, as our relationships are with dogs, and you were kind of differentiating between the
right.
two.
Horses don't have the unconditional love that dogs do. And it varies by horse. Some horses will show that, not quite like dogs, but will show an instinct with the, or a bond with the owner or the rider. Others don't. And sometimes the horses have been ridden by so many different people, as long as they really don't care who's riding them, they just go with it. But a prime example I like to give is the horse that I've ride. I've been partners with her for 6 years now, and she could care less if I go out there, if she sees me or not, until she sees me ride another horse. Then she comes running up, and she has that little look in her eye, like, what are you doing out there?
So, yeah. Well, like I said before, it's like, you stepping out on me?
Right,
what's happening here?
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry, yeah. You do use a very specific kind of horse. Can you talk about that type of horse?
Yeah, we prefer a draft cross, whether it's a full-blood draft like a Percheron or Belgian or Clydesdale, or we like to use a cross between a Percheron, usually a thoroughbred or a quarter horse, or in my case, a Dutch warmblood. What we get is the size and the calm demeanor of a Percheron or the draft horse, along with the athleticism of a quarter horse or a thoroughbred or whatever it's crossed with.
Okay.
That serves a couple purposes. It gives us the size that we're looking for.
Right.
It gives us the calm demeanor and the patience they have, but the athleticism when we need it. Sometimes there's more athleticism than we want, but we still deal with it.
Yeah. So we work with that. Now, you're a longtime horse person, so you grew up with horses. Is that correct?
Right. I was around horses. My sister had horses growing up, okay. So I've been around them for a little bit, just enough to pique the interest when I became a police officer.
So I have to know, what did it take for you to be, get to where you are? Because there's only seven of you, so it's not like just anyone can waltz up and goes, I'd love to ride a horse.
We have, on the police department, you have to be a police officer 5 years. And then if there's an opening, we have an application process, we have interviews, assessment where we put you on a horse and stuff like that, clean stalls, see how you handle that. So in my case,
if you can handle poop that you're in?
Not necessarily. it helps. But in my case, I got promoted to sergeant before this happened, and 6 years ago now, this current sergeant was retiring, and they did the exact same process and everything, okay. And I was fortunate enough to get in.
Yeah. And so I would imagine that it's pretty fun to go to work every day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, can't beat my job. I love my job. It's the best job out there.
I can't even imagine what that is like. Now, you have a variety of officers, so I see that you have men and women, and it looks like there's a little bit of a variety of ages. When you're looking to put together a team, because I think that's really important to have that cohesiveness,
right.
What do you look for in a team member in the Mounted Patrol?
First and foremost, that you know, once if we do have an opening,
which is probably rare,
it's very rare.
Nobody drops that one.
Right,
no one's
exactly.
Like,
no one
oh,
leaves.
I'm bored. I'm going to get out of here, man.
Right,
I don't want to do this
here,
anymore.
Leave,
put me back in a car.
So if the chance does happen, okay. We get a process with someone opens. They just got to be a hard worker because we do a lot of individual stuff. They got to be able a self motivator. They got to be able to go out on their own and be able to strive to want to do this. And you got to have some sort of passion for the horses.
Sure.
You can't be one that doesn't like the horses at all. So we all love the horses, and we all enjoy spending time with them and working with them and
right.
Everything. So, and age doesn't matter. There's some physical things that we have to be able to do for safety
right.
of the officer and the horse. As long as you can pass that and
show us your passion.
Show
yeah.
us your passion. Generally, we take what we can.
Well, and it looks like you also have to have a pretty outgoing personality. You can't just be someone who wants to sit in the saddle up high and you know, just move people with your horse. You really have to have a sense of humor and
right,
be able
absolutely.
To kind
You've
of react.
You've got to be able to interact with the public in mm-hmm. general. That's probably the number one thing we do is just talk yeah. to people. People will come up and talk to us no matter where we are, yeah. no matter what we're doing. The horse is a great icebreaker.
Yeah, I bet it is. And speaking of horse as a great icebreaker, there is a very specific asset that they bring to the table from a policing perspective. Because the officer never leaves the saddle, which I think is a really interesting, because that makes sense when you say that. Now it makes sense that they don't leave the saddle. There's certain ways that you as working as a unit with your horse that you use them to police. So imagine there's different scenarios that you could probably tell me about that if you had like an outdoor event and there's tons of people, there's something there, or if you are working, different scenarios that you use the horses for. Sorry, that was a long question.
No worries. Yeah, we're actually a support unit for the department. So we support all the other functions of the unit, whether it be crowd management, traffic if we need to, community days. So we really serve three functions. Public relations, you can't beat the public relations with the community. Like I said before, no matter where we go, people will come up and talk to us. We don't have that barrier of the car or the motorcycle
right.
or even guys on walking beats. They'll bypass. We could be on the corner with 20 other police officers. They'll bypass them and come talk to us.
Sure.
So we have that big icebreaker of the public relations. So we do multiple community events for all the districts. We do small parades. We do any big community event or mm-hmm. small community event. If we are able to assist, we'll go help. We also do a crowd management. That's probably our most effective part. We, in a crowd management aspect, whether it be event, one horse equals about 10 guys on the ground. And that's because we're at the height that we can see in the crowd. We can see further into the crowd. The horse is a very intimidating factor, whether you like horses or not.
Yes, those feet look very heavy if they step on yours.
Exactly. they're very intimidating. Just our presence there is a big yeah. one. And then we're able to go through crowds. The horse will move a person without them even realizing it.
Yeah, I bet.
So big example is Indy 500. We're always at the track on the weekend, turn three inside with the snake pit. I don't know how many times ambulances, fire trucks, the little ATV guys can't get mm-hmm. through the crowd, so we always can help them through the crowd because we'll move the crowd and they don't even realize it.
Right.
So we do a great aspect with those three, and then we do a good job.
Yeah, you do a wonderful job. I know that the city does quite a bit for the mounted patrols, as in paying almost all for the vet bills and their feed and their hay and their bedding, as well as deeding 20 acres to the unit. The association, though, their responsibility is for paying for the training, and as well as the tack and the horses and the new facility. So, Sergeant Whitesell, talk about, I know that there is specific training that you had to go through versus specific training that a horse goes through, and that during that training you can determine that that horse is not going to finish through the program, or they're not going to work out, or whether they're going to be super awesome. So first off, let's talk about your training. So you got the job. You're super excited. You're in the NFL now of the horse world, and they're going to send you off to camp. So tell me about it.
Well, this is actually kind of funny because it didn't happen quite like that. So I was able to come to the unit. Like I said, I knew enough growing up to get myself hurt, and actually happened a couple of times. And it got to a point where I decided we need some sort of formal training, because at the time, the previous trainer had retired. This other trainer was on his way out, didn't really have formal training to train, didn't have a class. So at the time, we were able to locate a training class for officers through the U.S. Park Police in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. They put on a training class, and they offer one or two slots to outside agencies if the need arises. Mm-hmm. So it just happened to fall in at the time. We made the arrangements. I was able to go to the class. They let me in, and then it just came down to funding, and the association stepped up. They paid for all my housing costs for that 10, ended up being 13 weeks, and the department able to give me a car, let me go down there, still pay my salary and stuff, for able to attend. So that was good, another example of great partnership between the association and the city on handling things. And so with that training, what they have an excellent training program.
Where is this?
This is in Washington, D.C. They're U.S. Park Police in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
They have their own training facility in Rock Creek Park, and it's real close to downtown. They have a huge park down there. They have a great facility there. So it was great training. Their training consists of taking you from day one, never seen a horse, all the way through the 10 weeks of getting you safe to be able to out there and actually patrol on horseback.
Wow. And did you have to do like a final exam, something like that?
Actually, there's four tests, three at periodic spots, and then the final exam that you had to pass to graduate.
What was the toughest thing for you to overcome in that?
With that, I was lucky enough to take my horse that I have, and so some of the confidence builder between me and her, we were able to go across that and defeat that and really build the confidence that we have together and what we do as a unit and as a partnership to be able to go out there and effectively police the city.
Excellent. I know, as someone who, as my listeners know, I have Belgian Malinois, and training, one of the biggest things for me in building that relationship with my dog is being fair and consistent. Is that the same type of, what is it that specifically builds that bond with you, as we call them, handler and animal, or,
right,
or horse and handler?
Yeah, it's similar. It's the horse is a prey animal, so they're constantly looking for a way out or a way to run away. And what we do with the horses, we don't want that. They've got to develop that trust with us that we're not going to put them in a harmful situation, or if they are in a harmful situation, that we can get them through it and succeed. So that's one of the biggest issues that we have, is trying to find the horse that will allow that bond, and we'll have that bravery when we need it.
So that can be getting into the horse part of it, from the training and deciding what is the best type of horse or the right fit. Would be a horse that can handle different situations, like walking on different surfaces and different noises, or is there that, or is it even deeper than that?
It's even deeper than that. We've got to have, that horse has to be able to handle all sorts of stuff, being not thrown at him, but thrown at him.
Right.
So we can tell generally pretty quickly whether that horse is going to succeed in our program or not. What horse might be great in the show world might not be so great in the police world. And that's why we'll see people that are horse people come up to us and say, man, we don't understand how you guys do what you do with these horses, compared to, we're on the same side. And we see the guys jumping 6-8 feet jumps, and we're like, there's no way we would do any of that stuff.
Right.
So it takes a pretty good horse to do what we do. And we go through, I think I've been here 6 years now, we've gone through 6 horses, and now we have maybe 2 that will work. So we go through a lot of horses to find one or two that will work. And as far as they got to have, their mindset's got to be the biggest part. I don't care if they get scared, how they handle themselves when they get scared is the
kind of like people,
one.
Right?
Right. How they handle themselves when they get scared is our biggest number one thing. And of course the size, and then their demeanor, their how they handle around people and the other horses. When they come to us, they have to be able to walk, trot, and canter and have some lateral movements.
And about how old are they come to you?
We like them between 3 and 9.
And do you go out and recruit, or does somebody recommend them to you? How does that work?
All the above.
Okay.
We might get people contact us, say, hey, we have this horse that we think might be good. We're constantly looking out on all these horse sites or word of mouth through people to find out who has the horses that we think might be interested. And then when that time comes, we'll get the blessing of the association. They'll send us. We'll go look at the horse. We'll spend, me and another officer, we'll go spend a couple hours with that horse. We'll take stuff to see what they think. And if they pass our initial eye test, then we do a 90-day trial period with them. That's one of our big things. We have to have that 90-day trial period so we can figure out if we think that horse will make it or not.
So obviously you're doing things with them that you're watching them, like you're putting them in situations in a controlled environment, I would assume. Are you, is it walking over different things? Are you pressuring them in a way with like maybe a fence or a gate, or to see how the gut reaction is to that and then you build on it? Or is it just, hey, do you have the raw nature to be a police horse?
A little bit of both. We'll go out and we'll ride them. We'll see how they handle under saddle to begin with. Then we'll do some obstacles type things, whether it be tarps, whether it be flares, whether it be a big bouncy ball we have, just to see how they react to being introduced. Most of them haven't seen that stuff before, which is fine.
Right.
I just want to see if they learn and how quickly they learn, and then if they
adjust.
Keep that learning.
Yes, yeah, if they maintain that.
So there's many times where we'll, you know, just seeing how they react to it is one of our biggest things. If they see something they don't like and they spin and run away, then no, that's not going to make a police horse.
Right.
If they freeze in space and I can get them over it, that's a good sign. Then when we get them back, that's when we start ramping up a little bit and see how they react. If they don't learn, they're not going to make a good police horse.
During that whole training part, how is it if you have 7 people and you say you have 2 horses in training now,
right,
is that 2 officers are riding these horses that are in training and they don't get to do as much? Sorry, I'm just trying to match the numbers to the numbers.
Right.
I have 7 people. I have 7 horses. Do I have 7 horses and 2 in training, or do I have 5 horses and...
I have 9, so 7 horses and 2 in training.
And then do you rotate them out so people will...
Most of the officers, we assign a horse to the officer.
Okay.
And then they will ride that horse, but if we can ride any horse. So like I said, if my horse goes down with... loses a shoe, I'll go grab another horse and go.
Okay.
So currently I'm training one horse, and one of the other veteran officers is training one of the other horses.
Okay.
So we will spend time... Our primary is going to be with the new
horse.
Is this
on your own time, or is this, when you do this, are you doing this training on your own time, or is that part collectively of the unit that they build that into it, so that's part of your job description?
That's in our job description as a training officer. So we do that during our work hours.
Excellent.
And we'll focus mainly on the new horses.
Okay.
But if a big event comes up, I can always grab my horse and go.
Right.
That's why, one of the reasons I have my horse that I use now is that she can sit for 2 months, and then I can jump on her and go downtown, and she'll be fine. And not all horses are like that, so I'm lucky to have this one.
What's
this
your horse's name?
Her name is Maddie.
Maddie. Oh, yes. I've seen her.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and that would be really significant, because you need to know that you can count on her at a moment's notice.
Right.
And so there is that bond or trust, that knowing that. So going through that whole process with the new horse, approximately how long does that whole from start to finish take? Say that Finn, your new horse or your horse that's in training, when did you first hear about Finn?
Well, Finn just graduated. He's the one that just graduated. So we have 2 new horses in training, Axel and Abel. They are 7 and 4. They're actually brothers. They're Percheron Mecklenburger cross, I had to think what they were. And that's a German thoroughbred hunter jumper type horse.
Stockies.
Actually, they're tall and thin and
really athletic,
and they'll fill out a little bit. We heard about them through a group, 2 Chicks and a Hammer. I met them 5 months ago now, on a community walk on downtown district, and we just got to talking with Mina and the mother. Somehow it just got snowballed into they wanted to donate a couple horses to us. So one of their workers found these horses in Ohio. We talked to the lady, and one of the officers, Officer Craney, and I went out to go look at them. We liked them. We brought them back, and we were actually fortunate enough. Both those horses were really green, which really right. really no experience. And so we were able to, with the help of the association, send them to training that a trainer I know in Lexington, Kentucky for 2 months. And I know them so well that I have my faith in those two trainers that if these horses wouldn't work out, they'd tell me quick. They
right.
wouldn't just take the money and run.
Right.
And
so plus, they knew their stuff well enough that you knew whatever you got back from these horses was going to be top notch.
Absolutely. Yeah. So 2 months isn't a very long time with them, but it was long enough that I was comfortable with what they did and how they would work. So when we got them back from the trainers in Lexington, we started into them here with our stuff. And we were real impressed with what they came back with. And so from here, it takes – one of them might move a little bit faster. The 7-year-old might move faster than the 4-year-old because the 4-year-old's really young, and he's still young. And I can tell you many temper tantrums he's had with me.
What is a temper tantrum from a horse? Is that – are they just stomping their heads or refusing to do something? What does that
– It varies by the horse, but in Abel's case – I've got foot stomping, I've got snorting, I've had baby rearing up, I've had all sorts of little temper tantrums with him.
All right, and he's four.
And he's four, but he's still young, he's still got his baby teeth, but he's coming along really well. I'm really impressed with how he's doing and how Axel's doing. So their training process can take 6 months to over a year to get them to be official police horses and graduated from our program.
And part of that, I would assume, is taking them out into the community and riding them in a community environment. Or is it?
It is. So
okay.
How we generally do it, we'll start with arena work. We'll start introducing them to some obstacles in our area and start building their confidence there. And then we're lucky with where we're located because we have a neighborhood right behind us,
right
outside our door. So we'll start introducing them to the neighborhood. Introduce them to Washington Street and slowly make our way to downtown and some of these big events.
Okay.
Once they can handle downtown by themselves and handle some of these big events and don't have a big problem, then they start to get up there and graduate.
And as a rider, I would assume you can feel when your horse is tensing up. So if you had one of these young horses that are in training and you get them downtown and you realize that they're starting to like not be a happy camper about that, is it something where you just move out and somebody and one of you, because you never, I would assume, go by yourself. So someone else would be with you.
Well,
how does that work?
When we start to introduce them to stuff, we like to at least have two of us down there, sometimes with four. So they give us a little kind of protection. And we want the younger guys to feed off of the veteran horses because they will feed off of each other.
Okay.
And absolutely we can feel them and they can feel everything we're doing too. So if we feel that, there's ways we can kind of soothe them out, pet their withers, talk to them, to help to calm them down. But that's also something I want to see how they react on their own, too. Because if they start getting tensed up, I want to see if they come back down, if they relax. And when they start to relax quickly, that's always a good sign. If they get up high energy and stay up high energy, that's a bad sign for us. Because one thing that scary dump truck is going to be gone in no time. They've got to be able to relax and enjoy the rest of their day. Not enjoy, but work the rest of their
right,
day.
Right, right. And be calm about that. So, you know, obviously I follow you guys on Facebook and I saw the shaving of the forelock. Can you tell me a little bit about the significance of all of that?
Right. So a couple of years ago, we decided to do more of a traditional aspect to the mounting police. We go by the base of the old cavalry tradition where we roach their manes and cut their forelock off.
Okay, you know you're going to have to explain
right.
what
so
that
we
means.
Cut their manes off. We cut their manes off and we cut their forelock off. It does multiple things. One is tradition of the old cavalry. The second is it's one less thing for people to grab a hold of in this time situation as an officer
right.
safety for us. So we like to do that. So when we get a horse in training, once we decide to purchase them, after that 90 days, if we decide to keep them, we will cut their mane off, but we leave the forelock. What that signifies to us is that this horse is in training. That's our way of – that's that final test is
right.
When they finally pass out and they become a police horse, we'll cut that forelock off and welcome them to the world of all the other ones.
I just love it.
So yeah, it's a rite of passage.
It is a rite of passage. It's awesome. I love it. One of the – other things that you do as collectively as a unit and representing Indianapolis in such a great way is that you all go to competitions.
Yeah, we've been starting to go to one competition here. It's the National Mounted Police Colloquium in Lexington, Kentucky. put on by the Lexington Horse Park Police and the Lexington Mounted Police. It's a great training aspect as well as a little competition at the end. This past year, we were lucky enough that me and three officers went. We were able to, and I actually took my four-year-old Abel down there because it's a good training experience.
For
we,
sure.
Whereas last year, I took Maddie, the veteran. So it's all excellent training for all the officers and the horses. And at the end, they said we do a competition. We were lucky enough this year in the uniform competition with the horse and the rider that Officer Price came in second place out of 10, I believe.
Yes, he looked quite dapper. I saw his picture on Facebook. He was awesome looking.
And then I was real impressed with my four-year-old Abel came in. We came in fifth in the equitation, and that was very impressive with that.
What's equitation?
Walk, trot, canter, doing almost like a dressage test with a little police work put into it. And they also have an obstacle course where he didn't do so well in the obstacle course because he's four. But he really impressed me on that week, which I've got a funny story on him too, because the first day we went out riding and we worked hard that whole day. That's probably the hardest he's ever worked. The second day I go in to go feed him. He's in the corner of a stall and won't even look at me. He's like, nope, I'm not coming out.
I know what's happening.
I know what's happening. This is too much work. So I even had an apple for him that morning. He finally walked over to me and stretched as far as he could to get that apple. But after that, he was back on par. He was real impressed with that horse, and I was real impressed with all the officers and the horses. They did an excellent job.
Is that like a week long, or is it 3 days?
I think it's about a week long now.
About a week long?
First 3 or 4 days of training, then a couple of days of
competition. Who else attends besides Indianapolis and obviously Lexington?
Lexington hosts it, so they don't really go to it.
Oh, okay.
There's police officers from all over the country. U.S. Border Patrol was there this year. A couple from Toronto, Canada came down.
And they all drove their horses, mm-hmm, hauled their horses all the way out.
All the horses out there. Atlanta comes. I mean, Evansville, Indiana has
a
part-time.
What a great way to spread the good word for everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's great for camaraderie, for meeting other officers from other units. Great to just to chat and expand on our abilities and train.
Excellent. Well, and that's great because then that gives you – other people have other ideas that you may not have thought of. You have goals. They have goals. Maybe they're all aligned and you can get some tips and tricks and add that also to them. So it's nice to be part of that bond. One of the things that the horses really do need, that you have the 20 acres that the association has donated. Right now, Chris, tell us a little bit about what the association is doing as far as fundraising in order to get a brand new state-of-the-art facility for this wonderful program that the city has.
Oh, you bet. So we have an annual fundraiser every year we do called Polo at Sunset that we have usually the last Friday in August. And that kind of funds our yearly operating costs. I made reference to that earlier. That would be, you know, raising money so we have money to buy the horses, to send the officers to training, the tack, the equipment, things like that. We are going to be starting a larger capital campaign, certainly by spring at the latest, and we're going to build a new facility for the unit. They have been in what I would like to call temporary housing for many, many years. And you that have lived around the city have probably seen them over by West Street. They've been in a variety of places. Well, we're going to build them a permanent home once and for all.
And in that permanent home, I know that there are specific things that would be on a wish list. What do you think that would be the number one or a couple of different things that would be high on the list of the officers and their needs for the horses?
Indoor arena, number one, and that allows them to continue their training and their work year-round without having to worry about the elements. New office space, new locker rooms, because, you know, for the seven officers that are out there now, and we certainly would like to grow the unit and see the unit grow as Indianapolis continues to grow, that's their office. This is where they go every day. They don't go down to the city-county building or to a district station. This is their office.
Right. Of the things that they're looking for just as donations and just general, if our listeners so had this, there are a few things I think that if anyone out there listening has items to donate, there could be, what would you say would be a good donation besides money? Because that's
good. Right. Money would be the number one thing. And I'll give a website here in just a minute where people can do that. You know, grooming supplies, fly spray, boots, and other riding gear, all of that stuff is absolutely more than welcome. Our website is impdmountedpatrol.org. You can go on there to make a one-time donation. You can go on there to make a reoccurring donation. You can go on there to keep updated on our barn and facility plans, as I mentioned, that we will be building here, our fundraising plans. All of that information is on the website.
And you also have a couple of fundraisers, one of which is my all-time favorite, is the big polo match that you have in August every year. And, you know, that money goes directly towards the facility, is that correct, as well as the other needs?
Well, up to this point, and again, we have that every August, that the funds raised for that go directly to the association,
okay,
which goes directly to the unit. That has been, to this point, just kind of replenishing our funds that we spend throughout the year.
Gotcha.
When we buy a horse, when we send officers to training,
yeah,
that replenishes
it's so expensive,
that.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you bet it is. So yeah. the we will kind of be doing a separate capital campaign as it relates to this, the new facility that we're building.
Excellent. Is there anything else before we wrap up that you want to add before we close?
I think I made clear, but I'll make it clear now. The association depends strictly on private donations, and the people of Indianapolis, through our polo event, through our website donations, through other avenues, have been just absolutely wonderful. And we're so excited to finalize these barn plans and to get this facility built. Because one of the things, Alice, that I want to do with this new facility is I want to work directly with IPS and the other school districts and do regular field trips out to the facility. Way too many times, and this is not a criticism, way too many times, there's too many of our youth here in the city of Indianapolis whose first and only experience with the police sometimes tends to be negative, and I want to change that.
Sure.
I want them to come out. I want them to meet the horses, meet the officers, have a really positive experience. That is my highest priority once we get this facility built, to do that on a regular basis.
Well, and with an arena, you can actually have that.
Absolutely.
You can come, you can have events, and especially being based right there in the community at the Central State Hospital fields there,
right
area
there.
That would be right there, perfect.
Absolutely.
To support the
field
city
trips,
and the kids and in that local neighborhood. So wonderful. I love that. Sergeant Whitesell had to leave because he actually has to go to work. You know, he actually does his job. So I so thank you and Sergeant Whitesell for coming in today. I've been a fan of the Mounted Patrol Unit for many, many years, and I'm delighted to see such growth and such passion within our city. So thank you so much for coming in today. Listeners, I thank you so much for listening in. This is the Pet Report, and until I talk to you again, I wish you a very good week from me and my pups. Thanks.
You've been listening to a special edition of The Pet Report on Iris Radio, Indiana Reading and Information Services, located at WFYI Public Media. For more information, visit wfyi.org/iris. To finish out this 1 hour segment, I'm going to read an article from impdmountedpatrol.org, A Rich History of the IMPD Mounted Patrol Unit Serving Indianapolis. The IMPD Mounted Patrol, formerly IPD Mounted Patrol, was formed in January 1983 by then Public Safety Director Richard Blankenbaker and downtown Indianapolis business leaders. They wanted more patrols in the downtown area and a positive public relations tool for the city and the police department. With an initial donation of $50,000 from this group and the help of the city administration under then Mayor Stephen Goldsmith, the initial unit consisted of 6 officers, 7 horses, 1 truck, and a horse trailer. In 2015, the IMPD Mounted Patrol unit clocked 831.5 hours of riding time, which does not include time spent caring for horses, washing trucks, and maintenance. The Mounted Patrol unit worked 7 officer memorial or funeral events, 4 protests, 42 community and school events, 74 events like Circle City Classic, Black Expo, Indy 500, and others, and were on the streets 253 days of the year. In addition, the unit patrols downtown and in other areas of Indianapolis daily. Problems with finding horses a permanent home. In 1983, the unit has had 5 horse stable locations within the city and has never had a permanent place to call home. The Horse Patrol Association and unit has been located at Pendleton Pike, an old warehouse at Merrill and Willard. Lucas Oil Stadium exists in this spot now. 4 locations inside the Indiana State Fairgrounds, 1011 North Fayette near the downtown canal, and their current temporary spot at the former Central State Hospital location near Washington and Tibbs. The picture they have associated with this article is titled 13-year-old construction trailers used by IMPD officers. And these construction trailers are weathered, rusty. You can tell that they're in need of some repair or replacement. Today, IMPD mounted unit officers work out of temporary construction trailers that were donated after construction at Lilly Pharmaceuticals campus completed 13 years ago. They were never meant to be used for this long. The trailers are falling apart, and the entire site, office trailers, stables, stalls, are an embarrassment to the unit, police department, and city. The unit has grown to over 12 officers in the past, accounting for two shifts. The unit has been trimmed down extensively to the current amount of one lieutenant, eight officers, one civilian hostler, and eight horses, with the hope of adding two more horses soon. And there's also another picture. It's labeled IMPD Mounted Patrol horses are housed in these stables. It looks like a rundown brick garage with some very weathered wood porch-like establishment off of the edge of it, and what looks like some very wood-paneled weathered windows, garage doors. So they definitely need some love. They are raising funds for their first permanent home in 34 years. They need your help. Visit impdmountedpatrol.org to donate or give us a call 317-614-0404 and we'll help get you connected with them. They have another article on their website titled Indianapolis Mounted Patrol Plans New Facilities on Near West Side. And this was written a couple years ago, so they've been working on this for a while. The Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department and the Mounted Patrol Association are planning new facilities on the near west side of Indianapolis, adjacent to their current property along Tibbs Avenue and West Washington Street. The Mounted Patrol has an obvious need for horse stables and grazing facilities, requiring more land than a typical police station and parking lot. The Horse Patrol Association supplements the city budget by raising to fund much of their capital expenditures themselves without taxpayer assistance. This is where you can help by donating to the cause. The city of Indianapolis covers costs associated with bedding, hay, facility maintenance, like mowing and trash service. The HPA covers the costs of the horses, officer training, fence supplies, grooming supplies, training aids, and many supplies like shovels, picks, saddles, salt blocks, and more. This is where you can help by donating to the cause. A new plan forward for the Mounted Patrol. A new site plan is in place. After 13 years of temporary housing, and looks like now 15, in discarded construction trailers, new plans call for a land swap at the site of the former Central State Hospital with the nearby Indiana Medical History Museum, which also is a great place to visit, by the way. The result is more space for police officers and horses that will be permanent and long-lasting. New storage facilities for feed and hay will make caring for the horses simpler. New construction will also make the horses and officers more comfortable in severe weather. The new facilities are bordered by Tibbs to the west and Vermont to the north. Washington Street is just south of the new facilities. This location gives quick and efficient access to downtown patrol areas, as well as central location for deployment across Indianapolis. Your donation will directly fund the construction and development of IMPD's new Mounted Patrol stables and offices. Together, we can ensure the safety and health of our city's horses, but also the dignity and respect to our officers. impdmountedpatrol.org. You can visit and donate some money or share this interview and support their cause. On their website, I click the tab of what you can do to help. Help fulfill the needs of Indianapolis's police horses. We are seeking donations to make much-needed repairs to our facilities. The Indianapolis Police Department Horse Patrol Association is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and all donations are tax-deductible. Our association funds expenses not provided for the city budget. You can help by providing smaller or used items such as grooming supplies, fly spray, boots, and other riding gear. The Mounted Patrol is also in need of some larger items that could be donated as used, such as a working tractor in fair or better condition, a working bobcat in fair or better condition, a working lawnmower in fair or better condition. The association also provides funds for building and grounds equipment, pasture maintenance and fencing, and services including alarm monitoring for the premises, repair of equipment, and the purchase of maintenance equipment such as box fans for horse stalls, sawdust vacuum equipment, and fencing panels for horse turnout pens. The HPA has ongoing needs and unusual or supplementary veterinary expenses such as dentistry and chiropractic services. For example, the HPA once absorbed the cost of an emergency colic surgery that exceeded $12,000. The HPA raises money through its membership program and donations from supporters like you. The association thanks its members and donors for making everything we do for our horses, IMPD, and Indianapolis possible. They do have their next event posted, August 24th, Polo at the Coliseum. Join the IMPD Mounted Horse Patrol Association, the Mounted Patrol Unit, and its horses Friday, August 24th, 2019 at 6 p.m. for a fun night of polo. You've seen the IMPD Mounted Patrol patrolling around Indianapolis, and now you can see them up close along with their friends. Polo at Sunset is now in its second year, and money raised benefits the construction of a new facility and barn for the Mounted Patrol officers and horses. Gates open at 4 p.m. at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. The event begins at 6 p.m. Admission is $25 per person. Tickets will be on sale soon through Ticketmaster. Polo at the Coliseum is made possible in part by these great event sponsors: Booth Dermatology and Cosmetic Care Center, Indianapolis Yellow Cab, the Stutz Indianapolis. Again, that's 6 to 10 p.m. at Indiana Farmers Coliseum on 38th Street. It's organized by IMVD Mounted Horse Patrol Association. If you are a business or organization and want to support this event, give them a call. If you want to support them financially, you can go to their website, impdmountedpatrol.org, and give a donation. Or you can support them in person and join their event. Admission $25. Tickets on sale through Ticketmaster. Again, that's 4 p.m. when the gates open on August 24th, 2019. This is fun. I clicked on Meet the Officers of the IMPD Mounted Patrol Unit. You heard Sergeant Alan Weitzel in the interview earlier, so I'll introduce the other officers of the IMPD Mounted Patrol. Officer Ivy Craney joined the patrol in 2016 from within the ranks of IMPD. A 10-year veteran of the department, Craney has 30 years of experience with horses. She says, "It's a dream position of mine. I've been riding horses since I was 4 years old. I've worked in horse shows and been avid in 4-H. To continue with horse riding and horse work with my job in IMPD is a real blessing." Craney routinely rides stretch and can be seen riding on patrol around downtown, Indy Parks, and the Monon Trail. Officer Jason Palumbo, he is from Peoria, Illinois. After college, he moved to Amarillo, Texas, where he was a police officer from 1995 to 99. He joined the Indianapolis Police Department in 99 and was assigned to East District after graduating from the academy. He joined the Mounted Patrol in 2001, attended mounted schools in New Orleans, Louisiana, and Lexington, Kentucky. Came to the Mounted Patrol because he always loved horses and could get paid to do something he loved. He says he gets to meet a lot of nice people on Mounted Patrol, and it's rewarding to see children interact with the horses. Officer Chad Price is a 10-year veteran of IMPD with a long horse riding history. Quote, "My grandfather had horses and was part of the Shriners. I always looked up to him for that," he said. Having joined the Mounted Patrol in April 2016, Price can routinely be seen riding Jake. "Working with the Mounted Patrol is a real breath of fresh air after working many different positions with IMPD," said Price. Officer Luke Schmidt is a 23-year veteran of IMPD with 16 years working in narcotics with the department. A graduate of IUPUI, Schmidt started with the IU Police Department in 1990 and moved to the Marion County Sheriff's Department after school. There, he spent 15 years working on the street and in narcotics before moving to the Indianapolis Police Department, before it became IMPD. A self-professed horse-crazy kid, Schmidt can be routinely found riding Finn around Indianapolis neighborhoods. Officer Lori Phillips. Joined Indianapolis Police Department in 2002, Officer Phillips has spent the majority of her career in various proactive patrol units. In addition, she has also been assigned as a narcotics detective and a school liaison. Officer Phillips holds various department certifications to include field training officer, mentor, emergency response group, bike response group, PIT, and rifle. Is that PIT? I'm not sure. Lori graduated from Indiana University, Bloomington, with a bachelor's in psychology and a certificate in criminal justice. She also has an associate in business from Vincennes University and is currently in the Indiana National Guard. Horses have been a part of Lori's life since childhood. She has always had a passion for horses and police work and considers being part of the Indianapolis Mounted Patrol as a blessing, which allows her to join police work with her love of horses. Officer Denny Gerald joined the police force in 2005. He spent 9 years on the street as a beat cop throughout the city, but spending most of his time in Charles Sector Southeast District. Denny then earned detective in major investigations as a missing persons detective. Denny worked cases from missing children, adults to child abductions and kidnappings. After 3 years in investigations, his lifelong dream of IMPD horse patrol became a reality. Denny's family, all from Southern Kentucky and Tennessee, used to show horses and growing up in this environment as a police officer to be a horse cop is a true blessing that I thank the Lord for every day, he said. Denny adds, as a 12-year-old child, I first saw and interacted with the IPD Mounted Patrol. That one interaction has stayed with me my entire life, and now I get that honor and privilege to maybe one day have the same positive interaction with so many others. Civilian Alice Stiers, who takes care of the horses, graduated from Purdue University in 1984 with a Bachelor of Science degree in Animal Science. In 1985, she worked at the zoo in Peoria, Illinois, as an animal keeper, specializing in large cats, outside large mammals, and educational animals. In 2000, she moved back to Indiana. In 2002, was hired by the IPD to work with mounted patrols. She takes care of all the mounted patrol horses, and all of them are her favorite. She said, each horse is different, which is the best part of my job. The horses make sure that I never have a boring day at the mounted patrol barn. Now that we've met the officers, let's meet the horses who protect Indianapolis. There's Buzz. He is a Percheron, and I apologize if I say that wrong, thoroughbred cross, bred, and broke at Angola State Prison in Louisiana. He was added to the unit in 2006 as a 5-year-old. Buzz has participated in several local parades and can often be seen working downtown and along the Monon Trail. And he's a beautiful chocolate brown horse. Cody, who kind of looks like an Oreo, he's white with some black spots, is a 13-year-old thoroughbred cross, the Percheron thoroughbred cross. He was purchased by the IPD Mounted Patrol Unit in 2004 from Police Mounts of Camelot and has served as a trustworthy and dependable member of the unit. Cody is considered a dapple gray but becomes almost white during the summer months. He has a very playful personality and enjoys the downtown patrols where he is able to engage with citizens and visitors of Indianapolis. While Cody stands just over 17 hands, a unit of measure equal to 4 inches tall, and weighs nearly 1,600 pounds, he is incredibly gentle with children and persons wanting to pet and or have their picture taken with him. Jake, another white horse, is a Percheron thoroughbred Appaloosa cross that stands 17.1 hands tall. He was born at Angola Prison in Louisiana on March 1, 2002. Jake came to the horse patrol in 2004, and we have been partners ever since. Jake always does what he is asked of him and has proven himself to be a very reliable police horse. Maddie, this is a brown horse. She's a little bit, has some light spots of brown on her belly, and she has a little speckled stripe going down between, from her forehead, between her eyes, down to her nose of white. Born in 2005, Maddie was purchased for the Mounted Patrol in 2008 from the Louisiana State Prison in Angola. She is a beautiful bay Percheron Dutch warm blood cross, and is 17 hands tall. Maddie has been through a lot of training, but none more difficult than the training she endured during her 13 weeks in Washington, D.C. with the U.S. Park Police. She attended the school with Sergeant Weitzel, where she went on trail rides, patrolled downtown D.C., and hours upon hours of work. Stretch, another white horse. He kind of looks like a white marble with gray. Stretch is an 8-year-old Percheron thoroughbred draft cross that stands 17 hands tall. He is a dapple gray with a kind personality and nice brown eyes. Stretch has been with the unit for over 5 years, with a few years spent apart due to his rider being deployed. They have attended several schools together and many parades, to include the 500 Memorial Day Parade and St. Patrick's Day Parades. And that's all we have. There's an article here. This article was written July 3rd, 2018, and it's titled, IMPD Mounted Patrol Loses a Second Police Horse Within a Month. On the morning of July 3rd, 2018, the IMPD Mounted Patrol put Dusty, a 22-year-old Percheron Quarter Cross horse, to rest. He had lower leg issues that were beyond the scope of rehabilitation. Dusty's death comes just a month after the passing of Colonel, another one of the unit's horses, who was laid to rest because of age and pain. Dusty was purchased by the Mounted Horse Patrol Association in 2004 from Angola Prison in Louisiana, where inmates there help train police horses. Dusty was a regular of event patrols around Indianapolis. He stood approximately 16.2 inches tall, about 5.5 feet. And he is a brown horse, but he kind of has some white mixed in. Obviously, that's from his age and being old, but very beautiful nonetheless. Horse Patrol Association Executive Director Chris Golightly said, "He was the rock and father of the herd. He was always placing the rookie or veteran horses in their place. He was a rock-solid, reliable horse for the unit, and he will be missed for sure. The unit's herd is increasingly aged, with an average age of about 15 years. The association faces the difficult task of replacing both Dusty and Colonel, despite tight funds to replace two at once. Training expenses for new horses are also supported by the nonprofit association. If you would like to support the unit and help purchase a new horse, donate to the IMPD Mounted Patrol Association. Again, their website is impdmountedpatrol.org. The Horse Patrol Association phone number is 317-488-7373. Again, that's 488-7373. The unit headquarters is 317-327-6681. Again, that's 327-6681. If you want to reach them by email, it's impdmountedpatrol@indy.gov. All right, so let's show them some love, everyone. Thank you for listening to Indiana Reading and Information Services, IRIS Radio, located at WFYI Public Media. For more information about volunteering, becoming a regular listener, or donating to our program, visit wfyi.org/IRIS. You can call the studio at 317-614-0404. General programming is intended for a blind or print-impaired audience and recorded in the studio at Indiana Reading and Information Services. I am Mandy Bishop, your operations manager. Again, thanks for listening and supporting IRIS Radio.